Every month this year, we've been bringing you conversations from the front lines of Arizona's food scene. It's part of Phoenix New Times food critic Chris Malloy's monthly column, Sonoran Arcana.
But this month, Mark, we are turning away from the confines of Arizona food and focusing in on one of my favorite things, wine.
Indeed. The Arizona wine industry has grown exponentially in the last decade or so, and there are several regions of the state where you can't turn a corner without running into a vineyard.
So for this month's Sonoran Arcana, Malloy and I did things a little differently. We sat down at Scottsdale's F&B restaurant to interview together someone who's been a key player in the Arizona wine scene for quite some time, Pavle Milik. He runs the restaurant's James Beard Award-nominated wine program. And just to give you a taste of the kind of passion this guy has about wine, here's a cut of him describing one of his favorite Arizona wines.
It's this empress of a white blend that is replete with this sexy aromatics that are kind of fruity, but the wine has this chutzpah and backbone of great acidity, so it's like a nervous white wine that's really refreshing, but it's also very generous on the nose, right?
Now Milik is working to open a winery and tasting room of his own in southeastern Arizona, but he told us he first got a taste of what Arizona wine had to offer long before it was fashionable to put local wines on a menu. In fact, when he did it, some people told him he was outright crazy.
We opened up F&B back in 2009. It was maybe 2 or 3 weeks into opening up that I approached Charlene and I said, what do you think if we showcase Arizona wine? And there was a little bit of background to that. Prior to opening up the restaurant, I had run Prado at Monte Lucia. And during my tenure there, a gentleman walked in one time, it was Sam Pillsbury, and asked me if I wanted to taste some local wine. And I remember that I was almost giving him backhanded compliments, like, I can't believe this is Arizona wine, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, I just found that these wines were very well made. They were distinctive. They tasted like not most wines, perhaps, that people tend to know. So the following week, I reached out to local distributors and to local winemakers. So I had them all come, and that's when, you know, we're talking about research and development and all that. So during that week, I tasted a great deal of wine, and the takeaway was that, at least in my gut, or at least in my palate, whatever you want to call it, I felt that there was enough good wine that was made with balance and with integrity. But again, Arizona wine is not like a three-pointer. You know, Arizona wine, you have to kind of like dribble it slowly down the court, mainly because they tend to be, in my humble opinion, more old school kind of wines, per se, meaning that they tend to be a little bit perhaps more rustic.
Well, let me ask you though, what was it like when you first made that first wine menu here? Was it kind of a no man's land?
So during that week, I had at my disposal a bunch of samples. So what I decided to do is I performed this controlled experiment at the restaurant where I would bring a glass of wine to a guest. And I would say, if you can guess where this wine is from, I'll buy you dessert or I'll buy you something, right? But the cool thing, after 1 week of performing this exercise, I didn't have to buy anything to anyone. But most importantly, the reaction was pretty positive. So I knew that though it was a blind tasting, they loved it. Once we printed the list, that's when I got a little bit of pushback. And it was a little challenging. I had people that I've known for years in this industry. I mean, I've been here on and off since 1988 when I had hair. I didn't even have a driver's license. And guests that I've known for over the years would say, Pavle, what are you doing? You're opening up your first restaurant and you know, you gotta go to the major leagues. What are you doing serving this wine? But Charlene's sourcing, and none of us have reinvented the wheel, you know, she tried to encroach beyond these four walls so that we can be part of a larger picture, a larger conversation, be part of a larger community, and sort of give a tip of the hat to what's happening in the backyard. And the idea came to showcase Arizona wine in an effort to bridge the gap between food and wine. So to be able to inculcate these relationships as part of your business philosophy always, you know, made us feel all warm and fuzzy without turning into a Portlandia sketch.
Growing grapes in the desert and making wine in the desert versus Napa. There's elevation differences, humidity differences, rainfall differences, all kinds of climate differences. Do you mind speaking to those a little bit?
Oh God, yes. Here's the thing with Arizona wine. We are high desert elevation, wine growing region, right? During harvest in Napa, it never rains. Here, during harvest, it happens to coincide with this beautiful, dramatic thing that we call the monsoons. And if you're from Arizona, you get really excited because we just spend the vast majority of the summer looking for a little tree at the Target parking lot so we can like hide from the sun, right? So we're excited when the haboobs and the rains come. But if you're in the wine business, the last thing that you want during harvest is moisture, because all that precipitation leads to disease, things like rot. For example, my harvest this year, there was a week that it rained one day, then it would not rain the next day, but then it would rain the next day. And normally you need at least one full day of dry weather so you can pick. So this harvest, there was a week and a half that I became Catholic all over again. I was looking up at the sky. There might have been one or two expletives thrown somewhere in there. So it's far more challenging to grow here. I think Chris Bianco is the one that says that, you know, with Arizona wine, you can taste the struggle. But, you know, Todd says that some vines here look like they're going to karate chop you. You know, it's just you know, that they really struggle here. And it's a little difficult to make wine here, but I think the result, I think the harder that the challenge is, sometimes the more rewarding that it is.
So Chris asked you about, like, what's the difference in growing here versus growing other places, right? But is there something you think unique? Because wine is so much about the land. What does the desert in this wine taste like? And is it something that is unique and special?
So I guess there's enough diversity in the regions that there's a pretty wide range of flavors, right? I can speak perhaps to the fact that fruit from Wilcox in Elfrida is more readily accessible, whereas, for example, the fruit that we get from Sonoita tends to be more intense, perhaps a little more pixelated. Wines from the desert tend to be more, for a lack of a better adjective, savory per se, perhaps a little bit restrained, more herbaceous. And I've always hated the ambiguous thing that people say with wines, that they're really food friendly. But you know, the Arizona wine does tend to be a little more restrained, and almost always they don't take center stage to the food.
All right, well, is there anything else you think we need to know about the Arizona wine scene? Anything that sets us apart from winemakers across the world?
I think Arizona producers, for the most part, are not beholden to things they have to grow. There's a lot of experimenting that happens. They're not following any nationwide trends. So here's what I have to say. You know, we live here. And when we go traveling, you know, be it Spain or France or New Zealand or Argentina or Chile, you know, countries that produce wine, you know, we always get excited about, you know, trying not only the food, but, you know, the local wine. So I think it's really exciting for us to be part of a state that has not only a robust agricultural scene, but we also happen to have more than a handful of producers that are doing a really great job, especially if you have friends coming out of town. There's more than a handful of wineries that you can take them to where you still experience the human scale of making wine. You're going to shake somebody's callous wine stay hand versus in some more established regions where maybe it's an employee representing the winery. And that's not to say they don't do a good job, but here in Arizona, you still can make a very direct connection to the person that's putting that wine in your glass.
Chris, Pavle, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot, Lauren.
I would really be interested to see a grapevine that would karate chop you.
Yeah.
That's really graphic.
He had some great descriptions in general. But yes,
yeah.
this is an interesting one.
A wine
Arizona
with
wine.
Chutzpah. I like that.
A chutzpah wine. There you go.
That's fantastic.
Good descriptions.